you're going to be like, wow, that Ruby girl is really, really cool. And I want to be your friend. Ruby, 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 Ruby!
To the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast and our special mini cast, Ruby Roundup. Before we get started with this episode, I do want to really quickly apologize for this episode actually coming out a little late. I was actually really sick for a little while and I was unable to do any other episodes besides that one. So I wasn't able to bring this out on time. So I apologize very, very much for the fact that this one is really, really late. But I'm here now. We're going to be talking about this episode, which, again, I'm very excited about talking about these episodes. Now, in case you've never listened to this mini-cast before, Ruby Roundup is a podcast where we're going over episodes of Volume 3 of Rooster Teeth's Ruby. Again, Rooster Teeth is a website you can go to. They have lots of great entertainment for geeks and nerds. And one of the shows that they have is called Ruby. And it's a great show, really love it, especially if you love anime. You should really try it out. You can go on roosterteeth.com and watch all the episodes of Season 3. Also, YouTube has the episodes of some of the episodes of Season 3 also as well, so you can watch those on YouTube as well. If you want to go on something else like Netflix, Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Ruby is on Netflix. So you can find those on Netflix as well. You can also buy the DVDs and videos on Rooster Teeth's store as well as Amazon. Let's go ahead into this episode called Destiny. The episode starts off with Team Ruby and they're in their dorm room and they're being talked to by Ironwood, and he's talking to Yang specifically about the incident that happened in our last episode. As you know, Mercury attacked Yang and Yang fought back and Mercury pretended like he broke his leg. We all know that it's not real because he has a robotic leg. Yang doesn't know that yet, so that's why we're going through all this. Also, we know that Emerald has used her semblance of projection and kind of mind control to kind of put a vision in people's head that Yang was just went up and attacked Mercury for no reason whatsoever. So this is kind of the ramifications of what just happened in that episode. So Ironwood is talking to all of them. He realizes that these girls are all top students and they really don't get into too much trouble. Not anything dangerous or anything like that. He also knows that sometimes on the battlefield you can see things and you images pop in your head, and sometimes you can lose control of yourself. Even though Ruby and Weiss try to convince Ironwood that Yang would never do anything like this, Ironwood is not completely convinced because of the video footage that's clearly been doctored, and you know, everyone in the stadium who believed they saw what they saw. It's all a big mess at this point. Ironwood tries his best to kind of convince Yang that she didn't actually see what she thought she saw. Then just before he leaves, says that Yang has been disqualified from the tournament. And kind of just leaves. After Ironwood leaves, Yang asks if the others believe her. And of course, Ruby and Weiss go, yeah, we believe you. Weiss is, yeah, you're not heartless. You're a little hot-headed, but not heartless. Yang goes over to Blake and says, Blake, what do you think? Now, Blake isn't really too sure. She doesn't know whether this is actually happening. And that's because of something that she's gone through in the past. Now, I believe this is her talking about Adam, but I could be wrong. So, she says that she has been through a thing where, slowly but surely, she had a friend who, at first, kind of lost control, little bits at a time, and just lost more control, and eventually just became a completely different person from what she knew. And she really... this kind of is very familiar to her in a way. And I think that's a really true character moment for Blake. is she doesn't actually believe that Yang is capable of doing this, but she needs a little bit of convincing just to make sure. So she asks Yang to say, look me in the eyes and tell me you didn't do this. And of course, that's what Yang does. And she says, all right, I believe you now. I will trust you. And I kind of like this. It's not clear cut and dry. You know, Ruby and Weiss are, I'm not saying they're gullible, but I say that they're very loyal to Yang and they believe her automatically. Blake is loyal to Yang, but she just needs a little bit more convincing. I think that's kind of an interesting, just little character moment. So Ruby says, okay, let's just go ahead and leave her alone for a little bit. And so they leave. And Team Juniper comes out of their dorm and kind of just asks everyone how Yang is or if they could do anything for them. And, you know, under the circumstances, they say that Yang is doing pretty well. Ruby turns to Pura, who is sitting on the bed, and she says, hey, I want you to win one for Beacon, please. Pura kind of looks at her and says, okay. Now, we know that Pura has been put before her a very, very hard decision that she's going to have to make. And you can see that in her face, in her line readings, that this is weighing very heavily on her. And even in this moment, you can kind of just see it all over her face. And she says, okay, don't worry, I'll do my best. And then, of course, Weiss and Blake decide to go off, and Weiss wants some coffee, and Blake wants some tea. Ruby kind of just goes off on her own. So then we get into kind of a funny moment into the episode. Of course, it's with Nora and Ren, and I love, love, love when Nora just is funny in a scene. So she has this kind of moment of, all right, we're going to get you ready, Pura, for your match. You have the whole school behind you, blah, blah, blah. And just has this whole little montage of things that she does. She gets into like a little training outfit and she starts doing like these exercises and lifts these weights above her head and then just kind of drops behind her. I thought that was really funny. And then Ren has his funny moment, which is really cool because Ren usually doesn't have a lot of lines in the episode, and I think it's just kind of great that he has this kind of just funny moment. Ren makes this kind of concoction for Pura to drink to kind of like boost her focus and, you know, get her ready and make sure she's healthy enough for the match. And it's made of like algae and all kinds of weird stuff. And I love his pink apron that he's wearing. And I read the apron. It says, please do nothing to the cook. Please do nothing for the cook, which I think is absolutely hilarious. So then Nora kind of tastes Ren's concoction to see exactly what this would taste like. And it's absolutely disgusting. And she kind of throws it up in the garbage. And while this is kind of comedy is going on, we have a quick moment of Jean kind of looking at Pura, and Pura's kind of looking down. He's kind of in thought. And so Jean's like, okay, let's go get some fresh air, guys. I think we need to get out of here. So they all leave, and we get a shot of Yang kind of watching them as they're leaving. And then all of a sudden, Crow appears in the room with Yang and starts talking to her. He says that you're either lying or you're crazy. And she goes, I'm not lying. And then Crow's like, well, then you're crazy. All of a sudden, Yang just says, by the way, I saw my mom. Crow kind of gets taken aback a little bit and says that, well, what do you mean? And then, of course, Yang kind of tells the story of how she saw her mom in Volume 2. So we get to see the little kind of emotional part of that, because we just saw the scene very quickly in Volume 2. Now we actually get to see Yang's kind of emotional state during this whole time. And then we find out that Crow has actually been talking to his sister, Raven. Every once in a while, Raven would come and find him and kind of talk to him and message him and then kind of disappear. Now, I thought her name was Summer Rose. Maybe I'm wrong. So maybe that's like a nickname for her. I don't know. Anyways, We'll figure that out later. Crow says, by the way, your mom has a message for you. She says, she saved you once, but don't expect that kindness again. And this kind of just places all kinds of thoughts in Yang's head. And then Crow makes the suggestion she made something slip that he may know where Raven is, where her mom is. He decides to help Yang find Raven. So then we kind of cut from there, which I'm actually very excited about. I don't know if they're going to keep on going with the storyline or they may save it for another volume, but I'm really kind of excited to see what Yang does with Crow. So next up, we come to probably my favorite part of this episode. We start off with Pura kind of sitting alone on her own outside of what looks like the cafeteria. I believe it's the cafeteria, if I remember correctly, from Volume 2. At least it looks like that anyways. So kind of, Pura's kind of sitting alone by herself outside, and a leaf, fall leaf, comes and lands on the ground right in front of her, which then, of course, kind of reminds her of her choice that she has to make, becoming the Fall Maiden. And she's, again, you can see it in her face. She's very torn between what she should do. She doesn't really understand what she can do. And then John comes in and kind of tries to cheer Pura up by giving her some cotton candy, and then kind of sits next to her. And they're kind of quiet for a moment, and then Jean kind of speaks up and says, you know, you're the first person who has ever believed in me. You're the first person who has ever said, you can do this, Jean. Not even my parents believed in me. Not even my own family believed that I could do this. And you're just kind of the first person that has ever believed in me. And as Pura is kind of, don't worry about it, it was nothing, she then kind of gasps and drops her cotton candy, and you notice that Jean has actually kind of reached out for her hand and kind of has kind of grabbed her hand and said, and just kind of continues on from there and says that I'm really happy you're with me, and you're encouraging me, and I'm really very happy to kind of be your friend. And it's kind of just this sweet moment. And then two leaves fall right next to each other, which again is, I guess, is symbolism for the both of them. I'm not really sure, but it's kind of an interesting little scene. And then something happens that I think is really cool. Jean says, I know that something is on your mind. I know that something's been weighing heavily on you. What can I do to help? And Pura kind of leans over, puts her head on his shoulder and says, you're doing it. So it's kind of a cute little moment. And then there's a slight little pause. And then Pura starts confiding in John. She doesn't tell him everything, but she says, do you believe in destiny? John says, well, I guess so. Yeah, sure. We find out that Pura believes that destiny is not a predetermined fate. That destiny is a final goal. That's something that you work your entire life to finally achieve. She says that she's really kind of struggling with this right now because she believed that she was going to be a huntress, that she was going to save the world, but something has come along that is going to help her do that, but is going to change her whole being, is going to change who she is, and she's not sure whether she wants to go through with it or not. Now, Jean, not understanding what Pura means by this, is like, don't worry about it, you're Pura Nikos, you can do this. You don't ever give up. You don't ever give it a challenge. And that hurts Pura because she believes Jean is kind of saying to her, you should go through with turning into the Fall Maiden. And she's not really completely convinced that she can do that. So she gets a little angry and Jean tries to comfort her, but she gets so angry that she accidentally uses her semblance. And in case you don't remember what Pura's semblance is, she can actually control metal. So she uses Jean's chest plate to kind of raise him up on the wall and kind of hits him against the wall. Well, when she does this, she kind of realizes what she has done and kind of lets Jean go, and he falls down, and with tears in her eyes, she apologizes and just kind of runs off, leaving Jean all by himself going, what did I say wrong? That's where we left it at that. Man, I had the feels at the end of this episode. I really, really had the feels, and really, I felt so bad for Jean in this moment, because this is the first time Jean has ever acknowledged that he likes Pura. It's always been about Weiss, and he kind of had this crush on Weiss, and I think he finally realizes that he actually loves Pura. I think this was a kind of a moment for him to kind of say, I really do have feelings for you, without actually saying it. But also at the same time, he was trying to see what was wrong, trying to understand why Pura has been acting the way she's been acting for the last couple of however long it has been since that episode. So he's trying to understand, he's trying to just help her out, and he doesn't understand everything that's going on, so it's really kind of hard for him. I really felt so bad for Jean, because I felt so proud of him that he finally kind of grew up in a way. Kind of had this character development that I just really thought was kind of neat. So next we go on to Ruby. It's been a while since Ruby has kind of been the focus of the episode. She's walking toward the shuttle to go to the Coliseum for the next match, and she notices Velvet. Now, again, Velvet is a faunus with rabbit ears. We met her before previously in other volumes. This is the first time we kind of see her in this volume. She's taking pictures. We finally kind of figure out what one of her hobbies is. She kind of likes to take pictures, but she's not really good at it. Ruby goes over to Velvet and kind of talks to her a little bit. Velvet asks how Yang is. She kind of says, well, she's fine under the circumstances. Velvet says, well, I believe that your sister didn't do anything. I believe that this is wrong how other people are treating her. And I really, really, I really am behind you 100%. I think it's kind of a sweet moment. Velvet says that she remembers that Coco had said something very similar in her match. Now, if you remember way back, Coco and fought with Emerald in the forest and thought she saw her partner, and then her partner disappeared. Now, obviously, we know that Emerald's semblance is making visions, so this kind of puts a question in Ruby's brain. You can actually kind of see it starting, the wheels, the cogs in Ruby's brain start to turn a little bit and go, wait a minute. This is kind of a neat little scene. And then, of course, we see Ruby and she sits down for the next event. And she notices that Emerald is sitting across the stadium. She's actually not supposed to be there because she thought that Emerald was with Mercury. So she gets up and decides to go over to that side of the arena and trying to see what Emerald's doing here. As she's doing that, you hear the announcers that they're about to announce the next fight. And just about when they're about to announce what the fight's going to be, Ruby sees Mercury. We thought that Mercury was going to be sitting out of this because Cinder had told Mercury to sit still, don't move, we don't want anyone else seeing you. We see that Mercury is standing right in front of Ruby. You hear the announcement that it's Pura versus Penny. And Mercury makes the comment that, oh, polarity versus metal, not a good combination. Kind of saying that something is about to go down. Ruby gets angry, and you see that she kind of reaches for her weapon, but she doesn't have it. Mercury just starts to get in his fighting stance. And then we cut back to Penny kind of standing in the middle of the crowd, kind of waving at everybody. Nora and Ren are watching this. And then Pura, who also comes up into the arena, you can see that she's still kind of down about what had just happened. And that's it. That's where the episode ends. So what's going to happen in episode 9? I'm not really sure, but I'm very excited to see what's about to happen here. Let's go over my pros and cons for this episode. So my pros, I am a sucker for character development. I really, really love character development, and this episode was really chock full of not just character development, but character moments. I really love when characters feel real, when characters feel very, very real, when they feel like these are people you could actually know in the real world, and I think this episode was chock full of character moments and character development, and it really made me care for these characters a whole lot. I love Blake's character moment. I love Yang's character moment. I really love Jean and Pyrrha's character development in this episode. It's really quite interesting. You can see that some of the questions that we have been that have been constantly raised by the first couple episodes are now starting to unravel a little bit. We're starting to understand this a little bit more, and I'm actually really excited to see what's about to happen. And that's what makes a good story, when it makes you excited, when it gets you pumped and ready to see what happens next. I think that this episode was really, really great at doing that, and I can't wait to see what happens next. Now, my cons for this episode are just two. First, I think that at times this episode was a little slow. Some parts of this episode kind of drug on a little bit, and I kind of wanted to kind of pick up a little bit more. Maybe it's just my personal preference. I really think that could have been paced a little bit quicker, but still, this is a very, very small nitpicky thing. I also think that there may be a little too many things going on right about now. There are way too many stories going on for me to follow, and it's even hard to kind of remember what's going on. Or this is a problem with some episodes, I think, is they try to have so many things going on at the same time, it kind of confuses your audience. Even though I feel that this is a little too much, I feel that there are some shows out there that have more than enough things that are going on that even confuses you more. So again, this is a very small nitpicky thing that I'm just bringing up, because again, I just feel that sometimes you're giving a little too much story and a little too many things are going on, and it just confuses you. So I'm hoping no other storylines are going on right now. We can kind of just stay with what we got right now. Let me go ahead and end this episode of Ruby Roundup. Again, I want to apologize for this coming out a little late. I'm glad that you guys are sticking with it and listening. We are part of the Arcade Archives Network, and you can go to the ArcadeArchives.com, thearcadearchives.com, and you can see all kinds of great articles, videos, and even webcomics on our website. So please go and check that out. If you are listening to this on iTunes, or even if you're listening to it on the site, thearcadearchives.com, we would like to, or on YouTube as well, because we also are on YouTube. Please make sure you comment below. We want to really hear from you. We want to really hear what you think of these episodes. So please leave a comment. If you're listening to this on iTunes, please make sure you subscribe to the feed and make sure you leave a review on iTunes with as many stars as you feel that we need. And let us know if we can improve a little bit. I really, really want to improve for you. So please, please do that. Also, in case you didn't know, I am an artist. And I have my own webcomic called Tales from the Game Grid. It's a monthly webcomic, very similar to the Sunday Fundies. You can find that on the website every month. We have just passed our 25th issue of the comic and our second year here on thearcadearchives.com. And I'm really, really happy that this is going great. And the people out there are really loving this comic. So please make sure you check that out if you haven't already. Also, if you're a Pokemon fan, we are doing another mini-cast called Pokemon Rewind that you can catch. We are currently going over the Orange Island story arc, and we're going through episodes of that. And also, be ready, because next month is the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, and we're going to be doing some special stuff for that. So keep tuned to that. We'll be announcing that very, very soon. So keep tuned to this feed and keep listening to this podcast if you enjoy it. Again, thank you so much for joining us here at thearcadearchives.com, here at the Cartoon Connoisseur Theater Podcast. Best wishes, everyone. Ruby, 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 Ruby! Thank you for listening to this Arcade Archives Network podcast. If you like this, please go to iTunes and write a review. You can also comment on thearcadearchives.com. Again, that's thearcadearchives.com. You can also go over to our other website, zowiekerpowie.com. Again, zowie, kerpowie.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at TalesFTGameGrid. Again, at TalesFTGameGrid. Thank you again so much for joining us here for this Arcade Archives Network podcast, and keep playing like it's 1981.
Message from headquarters. This is a Rebellion production and is part of the Arcade Archives Network.
That is all.